Well, Christy and I, we were so privileged to take a 10-day vacation that culminated this last Monday. That's one small advantage for me as a pastor during this fully online season of ministry. I was able to be out of town the last two Sundays, and most of you had no idea. I don't know if I've ever taken two consecutive Sundays off since I went into full-time ministry. Well, Christy and I, we're just old beach bums to the core, and we spent 9 of those 10 days on the beach. Man, it was like a paradise for us. But for the last 5 nights of our trip, we were staying off the coast of Corpus Christi over on North Padre Island. And on one evening, I was really wanting some good seafood, so we Googled some places and decided to ride over into Corpus, over to North Beach, to a little place called Blackbeard's. Now, we haven't spent much time over there, so we didn't fully know the way to get there. But Siri, my digital assistant on my phone, she was doing her best to guide us to our destination. Corpus is going through some major road and infrastructure renovations, and so some of the things that Siri was saying to us didn't really make full sense to us. And at one point, she told me to exit to the right, and I didn't think it looked like to me that I should be going that way at all. And so I started not to listen to her. But it's one of those deals where you have just a few seconds to decide, or else you miss your chance. You have to go way up the highway so you can get turned around. So, against my better judgment, I went ahead and took the exit, and sure enough, it was not where I needed to be. Now, it wasn't terribly tragic. I mean, we didn't drive off the edge of a bridge or anything. In fact, that road quickly merged onto the actual road that I needed to be on, so in the end, all was fine. But in the moment, when I realized I'd made the wrong choice, I quickly got frustrated by it. And even though she's not a real person, I had feelings against poor little old Siri. She'd given me some bad information. But I think in hindsight, really, though, it was my interpretation of the information that led to the little mistake. But still, I mean, it's easier to put the blame on Siri and not take responsibility for my own choice. You've probably been there as well. Now listen to me. Listen really close. Life is full of moments where you have but a few seconds to choose which path you're going to take. So how will you decide? What information is at your disposal? What experiences have you had that leads you to consistently make the right choice? You see, if there's anything we need in life, more than money or materialism, more than recognition or promotion, more than degrees or technical certificates, we need wisdom. Wisdom is the true secret to a significant life of meaning and peace and joy. I spent a lot of years using Proverbs as a part of my daily Bible reading. You probably know this, but there are 31 chapters in Proverbs, and so you can read one chapter a day, whatever day of the month it is, and then next month you just start over and read it again. And I remember several times coming to the 8th chapter and thinking about how Solomon, or whoever wrote that particular set of Proverbs, how they personified wisdom. He made wisdom into a character that could actually talk. And guys, it might not be a coincidence that he chose to make her a female. And here it is from the Voice translation. This is Proverbs 8. Isn't Lady Wisdom calling? Listen, don't you hear the voice of understanding crying out? She's taken her stand at the highest place in the city, at the crossroads where everyone can see her. There, and at the gates, and at the entrance to the city, right in front of the city doors, she cries out. You see, when you come to the crossroads of life, even in the smallest of split-second decisions, you have the decisions you might have throughout your day, Lady Wisdom is there, available to you. Listen to what she has to say. This is verse 4. O people, I'm calling to you. I have a message for all humanity. You gullible people, acquire insight. You naive ones, cultivate a heart that truly understands. Listen, for I'm about to tell you of unparalleled excellence and beauty. What I'm about to say will set things right. Or put another way, I love this. Don't miss a word of this. I'm telling you how to live well. I'm telling you how to live at your best. Oh, I love that. Lady Wisdom is telling you how to live well, to live at your best. Now, of course, we've been in the book of James for quite a few weeks, talking about a faith that works. His encouragement to us is to understand that how we deal with the tough stuff of life is what leads us to be mature and complete. The telos, the Greek word there, the goal, the hitting the center of the target, not missing the mark. And he immediately, James told us what was needed to actually know what to do with real life. And of course, what we need is wisdom. Remember this that he said almost right out of the gate? Now, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to him. And so, we talked about wisdom a little bit in our second sermon in this series. But for James, it's such an important concept that he brings it back up in chapter 3 with a lot more detail. So, let's read this here together. I'm reading from the Christian Standard Bible. Who among you is wise and understanding? By his good conduct, he should know that his works are done in the gentleness that comes from wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, don't boast and deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there is disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peace-loving, gentle, compliant, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without pretense. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who cultivate peace. The wisdom from above. Now, our D group should recognize those last couple of verses quite well. James is clearly setting up this dichotomy of wisdom, that there are potentially two sources of wisdom. There's earthly wisdom, and then there's wisdom from above. So let's get into this a little deeper, and let's get clear about what wisdom really is. See if these definitions and explanations of wisdom seem right to you. Wisdom is knowing what to do, or maybe we should say the right thing to do. Or maybe we could even say the best thing to do. Wisdom is what we use to make the best choices. In fact, written in my life constitution is my life motto. Life is a series of choices, and then you die. I mean, think about that. All day long, from the moment you wake up until you lay down at night, you're making choices. Now, some of them are mundane and make little impact on your life, but many of them do. Wisdom is what you'll need for those bigger choices. Wisdom is what we use to make the best choices. But where does it really come from? I mean, how do we get it? I mean, clearly we're not born with it. So we got two options here. First off, wisdom is something we gain personally in life. It's something we learn. Or maybe we could even say it's something we earn because it comes from experience. And that kind of deep wisdom takes a long time. Early on, we come up against a choice or a circumstance, and we have to say, I've never been here before. What should I do? And so you make your choice. And then either consciously or subconsciously, you analyze the outcome of that decision, and it gets filed away until you come to a similar choice or circumstance in the future. You might even get through that decision and realize you chose poorly, and you say something like, boy, I'll never do that again, or I won't do it that way again. Now, so we could also say wisdom is the application of knowledge. So you come to a new choice in life and you don't know exactly what to do. And so you give it your best shot. And then you know for yourself what happens if you make that particular decision. And so little by little, mistake after mistake, success upon success, you slowly gain wisdom in life. And you can begin to say, I've been here before. I know what happens if I make a bad or good decision. Now, I've called this personally gained wisdom. And that can take a lifetime to achieve. In fact, that's why we often think of our most cherished saints as old and wise. W might stand for white hair and wisdom. Not always, though. But the other way we can get wisdom is by listening and following the guidance of someone else. We might call this externally gained wisdom. Someone older and wiser than you has been to the places you're just now coming to. They have the knowledge and experience. Now, as children, most of us are blessed with parents who fill that role for us. But again, in order to benefit from their wisdom, we have to listen and we have to follow. A simple example is when they tell us not to touch the hot eye on the stove or some other kind of danger. They know and likely have experience of their own with the consequences of such a poor decision. But the reality is, if we don't listen to what they're saying, likely out of our own need for independence, we just have to try it for ourselves. They had the knowledge, they gave that knowledge to you, but you have to apply the knowledge for yourself and trust their wisdom. Otherwise, it's going to cost you. And that's why our parents will sometimes say, "You should have known better than that," or, "I taught you better than that." Ever say that to your kids' parents? So that gives us a lot of background and a good understanding of what wisdom is in general. We either earn it through experience or we gain it by trusting someone else. And that leads us back to James's idea of wisdom from above. He's obviously pushing us toward gaining wisdom, not so much by personal experience, but gaining it externally. Wisdom from above, he says. Now, this little phrase, from above, shouldn't be glossed over too quickly. If you go back to John chapter 3, very famously, you'll probably remember the conversation that Jesus was having with Nicodemus. And in that familiar translation that you're used to, Jesus says, "You must be born again." But another, and perhaps better way to translate that Greek phrase is, "You must be born from above." And this is so much richer than simply calling a person born again after they prayed a sinner's prayer. You see, to be born from above means to be interactively joined with a dynamic, unseen system of divine reality in the midst of which all of humanity moves about, whether it knows it or not. And that, of course, is the kingdom among us. Think about this. Paul was addressing the Greeks at the Acropolis, and he said of what they called the unknown God, that in him we live and move and breathe, as if God himself inhabits the very atmosphere around us, not just in the heaven of far away, but the heaven on earth reality. God's presence, his love and mercy, and yes, his infinite wisdom is available to us, literally a breath away. And to be born from above is to enter into that reality. And thus, when James speaks of wisdom from above, that's what he has in mind. And that's why I said a few weeks back that having wisdom from above is having God's view of life at all times, accessing or tapping into the rich wisdom available to those of us who have entered into his kingdom way of living, the Spirit of Christ reminding us of everything Jesus taught. Not counting on your own wisdom, and especially not the wisdom of the world, but it's a whole new way of thinking that leads to a whole new way of living. And like I said, you're gaining wisdom by trusting in the wisdom of someone else. And particularly, you're trusting Jesus. And that's why Jesus said, "Anyone who listens to my teachings and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand." You see that? You see what he's saying? Jesus says, "Trust me. Trust what I am teaching you. Follow it. Live it out, and you'll be wise. If you don't, you're foolish." And believe it or not, another way to actually translate that Greek word for foolish is stupid. Lord knows I've fit into that category more than once. And so James describes what wisdom from above looks like, as well as wisdom that is not from above. So let's look at the negative side first. He says, "But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind." And so James wraps up earthly wisdom in a nutshell of three things here. Maybe these are just examples, but here are the three things he mentions. Jealousy, selfish ambition, or maybe just selfishness, and hypocritical phoniness. And we're easily duped into using that kind of wisdom because it's so prevalent in the world. And we want what other people have materially, relationally, and otherwise. And we want our own way. We have a need to be liked and accepted at any cost. And then we kind of realize that we probably shouldn't be that way. So we attempt to deceive ourselves and others, saying things and doing things that makes up for it on the outside. But we're still just selfish to the core. And James says, whenever you're trying to look better than others or get the better of others, things fall apart. And everyone ends up at the other's throat. James says that kind of thinking is demonic and devilish. Sounds a lot more like wisdom from below than wisdom from above, don't you think? And it's interesting, isn't it, that what matters most when it comes to wisdom from above is actually our interaction with others. It's not, about making the best decision in business for the greatest profit. It's more about how our decisions affect other people. In fact, it's not about ourselves at all. Now, using some different translations, I've compiled a list from verses 13 through 18 that outlines what James says characterizes this wisdom from above. I love lists like this. They can serve as sort of a rubric with which we can evaluate ourselves. And there's a lot here, and I'm not going to try not to rush through it, but it would really make a great little tool to add to your journal. So I'm going to make this list available as a download. Look for that at the end of service. Now, the overarching way that James introduces this wisdom from above is good conduct, how we conduct ourselves in the world among other people. And true to form, he says good deeds should be present. Remember, he's the one who said faith without works is dead. Now, of course, verse 17 says wisdom from above is first of all pure. It starts from a place of a clean heart, a life that is self-aware of selfish and sinful thoughts and behaviors, and therefore also repentant and pursuing right character. Next, wisdom from above is peace-loving, and that means it's courteous and considerate. Now, our demeanor should be that of gentleness, not being pushy and demanding, not intimidating, not mean-spirited, not bullying. In fact, one translation says wisdom from above is reasonable, which means willing to listen or even being teachable. And similarly, we should be willing to yield to others or compliant, as it says in the Christian Standard Bible. Next, wisdom from above is full of compassion. Compassion is love in action, having eyes to see the needs of others and agape love causing you to do something about it. It's overflowing with mercy and blessings in other people's lives. Not just compassionate, but overflowing with good fruit. Fruit of the Spirit, like joy and peace and patience and kindness. Oh my goodness. I mean, how different would our world be right now if even in the midst of all these disagreements, we would just be kind and gentle. Wisdom from above is also unwavering. I love that. It's full of conviction and persistence. It doesn't give up, doesn't give in. It doesn't cave to the winds and waves of current political or cultural hot topics. It's not careless or thoughtless. It's stable. A rock to build our house upon, as Jesus put it. James says that wisdom from above is without pretense. You know what that means, right? Pretense. No more pretending. Instead of hypocritical phoniness, trying to make ourselves look better, it's characterized by humility. It has a modest view of your own importance. Like C.S. Lewis said, humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. And it's certainly not boastful or full of pride. And when you add all of that up, you can see why I've said having wisdom from above is having God's view of life at all times. You've learned to think like Jesus, and thus you've learned to love, live, and lead like Jesus. You're tapping into the infinite wisdom of his kingdom. Your every response to life's issues and problems and people, the choices you make are truly rooted in that almost cliche, what would Jesus do? But it extends even further to how would Jesus do it? Paul understood this really well. He said, we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. And in the powerful verses Leo read just a few moments ago, Paul implores us to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And of course, what was that mind of Christ? Well, Paul's reason for declaring these powerful mind of Christ verses is rooted in the verses preceding it. Listen to this. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. He existed in the form of God, yet he gave no thought to seizing equality with God as his supreme prize. Instead, he emptied himself of his outward glory by reducing himself to the form of a lowly servant. He became human. He humbled himself and became vulnerable, choosing to be revealed as a man, and was obedient. He was a perfect example, even in his death. You see, we might think that we need wisdom so that we can make the best choices and decisions for our own benefit. But it appears to me that James and Paul, and especially Jesus, say that wisdom, the best wisdom, wisdom from above, is more about how we live among our brothers and sisters and coworkers and even our enemies. Using wisdom from above is for the benefit of others. Listen carefully to James, just one more time, from the Passion Translation. I love this. If you consider yourself to be wise and one who understands the ways of God, advertise it with a beautiful, fruitful life guided by wisdom's gentleness. Never brag or boast about what you've done, and you'll prove that you're truly wise. But if there's bitter jealousy or competition hiding in your heart, then don't deny it and try to compensate for it by boasting and being phony. For that has nothing to do with God's heavenly wisdom, but can be best described as the wisdom of this world, both selfish and devilish. But the wisdom from above is always pure, filled with peace, considerate and teachable. It's filled with love and never displays prejudice or hypocrisy in any form. And it always bears the beautiful harvest of righteousness. Good seeds of wisdom fruit will be planted with peaceful acts by those who cherish making peace. Oh, friend, can you hear Lady Wisdom calling out to you today? She stands at the gates and at the crossroads like a street preacher out on the corner. And she cries out to us this morning, don't miss a word of this. I'm telling you how to live well. I'm telling you how to live at your best. You see, you've got a choice. Here it is. You can keep going through life using your own feeble attempts at decision-making, slowly and arduously learning by mistakes. You can guess at how to interact with your difficult boss or your stubborn children. You can make decisions on how to use your money, how to get a promotion, or how to be a successful person in life based on the wisdom of this world. Or you can bypass all of that and simply learn to have the mind of Christ, to tap into the richness of his wisdom from above. And step by step, as you learn his life of gentleness and peace, of compassion and kindness, being considerate and teachable and humble, you'll be guided into how to live really well, how to live at your best, the very life that you were meant to live. And the church said, amen. Well, all right, in a few moments, we're going to be reflecting on the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. And what we've already been singing about here this morning. The very reason he humbled himself and took on the form of a servant as we join together in a few moments in the Lord's Supper. But before we do that, it's always good to search our hearts. Paul even said to the Corinthians, you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. So let's do that today. Now, perhaps today there's someone watching that you've yet to call yourself a Christ follower. Maybe you've been leaning on the wisdom of this world, and maybe that wisdom of the world has led you to some dark places. You need to know this, my friend. This act of love where Christ took on the sins of the whole world includes yours as well. There's no sin too deep, no failure too big, no mistake so great that this love does not reach and erase for all eternity. And so I encourage you to simply call on the name of the Lord, commit to a new life of rightness, and walk forevermore in his love. Jesus invites you this morning to repent and believe and join him on his great mission. Place your confidence and your trust in him and just start following. That's all there is. I mean, if you've been on the fence, maybe today's the day to climb on over. And if you're making that decision to follow him today, we'd love to celebrate with you. You should see a button to click there in the chat box to raise your hand, so to speak. It's totally anonymous to everyone here, but once you click that button, you'll also have the option to speak with someone about that decision so that perhaps we can help you with some next steps. So be courageous, friend. Click that button. Let us know you're starting your journey as a follower of Jesus today. Now, for all of us, Let's think for just a few moments about what kind of wisdom that we've been using lately. In a moment, I'm going to put up a little chart that shows us some of the differences between the wisdom of the world versus the wisdom from above. And so if you see something there that you need to repent from, be sure to do that. But be sure to follow James's early advice when he said, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to him. Ask, friend, and it's going to be given. Seek, and you're going to find. Knock, and the door's going to be open today. Well, okay, Northway, let's pray for a few moments. And then Elena and the band, they're going to come back, and they're going to lead us in a song of reflection before we join together in the Lord's Supper.